You're listening to the Whole Vineyard Podcast. To find out more about the Whole Vineyard Church, go to wholevineyard.co.uk.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's so great to see you. Hey, be honest, who's actually got an advent calendar? Three of you, okay. It's a bold move going through audience participation with an advent calendar. Love it. Well, a huge welcome to you all. My name is Josh. I'm part of the team here. I'm excited to be bringing God's word this morning. John Clark, our senior pastor, sends his love. He is preaching at another church in the city, being a blessing to them. So that is so exciting. We are in a series at the minute called Kingdom Come, and we're exploring what it looks like for us to live as people of the kingdom of God. And today I want to talk about the now and the not yet of the kingdom. The now and the not yet of the kingdom. Have you ever experienced being caught in the middle of two things in life? Have you ever been found stuck between a rock and a hard place? I've been married 10 years, so I've been there a few times. Can I get a witness? This is why I don't use paper. Let me give you a great example of when I was caught between a rock and a hard place. A couple of years ago, my family and I went to a local farm for a fun day out. And when we got there, we discovered that one of the very large barns that was on the farm was actually being used as a live auction. Now, has anyone been to a live auction before? Yeah, a few of you, but I'd never been to one, and I very quickly got roped into the whole experience. It was incredible. If you know anything about me, it just takes a little bit of enthusiasm, and I'm in, right? My wife calls me the salesman's dream. And so we're there, and people are bidding on all sorts of things, and the auctioneer is speaking very loudly over the top, and I'm just overwhelmed. I'm so excited. I have no idea what's going on. And there's a moment that happens about halfway through where I have this kind of out-of-body experience. Over the tannoy, the auctioneer says, for sale, a Victorian grandmother clock. Now, I don't know if you know what a grandmother clock is. They're about 5 or 6 feet. They're a bit smaller than a grandfather clock, which are massive, right? And so I look at this, and in my head, I think, who on earth wants to buy that? That is a joke, right? And then the auctioneer, the next thing I hear is, sold. And then I look around, I'm like, who's bought that? And the auctioneer is staring at me, and my hand's in the air. And I've put a bid in and bought a grandmother clock. And I look at my wife, who is staring at me as if to say, what on earth are you doing? Well, firstly, how are you going to get this home? Because we have a small car and it's 5 or 6 feet. Secondly, I didn't have any money. So I'm like, what am I going to do? And I found myself caught between these two things of I've just bought a grandmother clock and I don't have any money, no means to get it home. And I had to go up to my dad and I said, Dad, I need to borrow some money. And he's like, why? I said, well, I've just bought a grandmother clock at auction. And he looked disappointed in me, actually. But anyway, the story is we managed to get it home, and within the week, I got rid of it. I'd sold it. It was not allowed in the house. That's a silly story to illustrate that I was caught between two realities. The first was I bought a grandmother clock. The second was I was about to pay a lot more in relational equity with my wife and was living in the tension of those two things. Now, in the kingdom of God, we live in tension too, don't we? We live in the tension between two realities, the now of God's kingdom and the not yet of God's kingdom. The kingdom now speaks to the reality that the dynamic rule and reign of God, which came in Jesus, is breaking into our world today, bringing demonstrations of kingdom power. Then we have the not yet of the kingdom. And the not yet of the kingdom is the reality that the kingdom has not yet come in its fullness. And so while the kingdom breaks in moments and miracles, the reality is that the fullness of God's kingdom hasn't come. One day it will, but it hasn't come in its fullness yet. And so we live still in a broken world. There is still suffering in our world and pain and loss and sickness. We have the kingdom now and the not yet. And it's very important. We don't live with balance with these two things, like one goes up, one goes down. It's very important as followers of Jesus, we hold them both as true at the same time in tension. And a lot of Christians overemphasize one of these things. And I think if you do that, you end up slipping into choppy waters. If you have an over-realized kingdom now theology, You believe that God always breaks in and always heals and always does what we're believing for in this life. Then it creates a theology that says Christians should not experience suffering or pain or weakness or trouble. And when those things do come, it must be because I've done something wrong, or I don't have enough faith, or maybe God doesn't love me. And then that leads oftentimes to guilt and shame and condemnation and deep disappointment. And an overemphasis on a Kingdom Now theology doesn't leave a lot of space for a robust theology of suffering. But then we have too much of a Kingdom Not Yet theology. I'd argue that can be just as damaging, because it creates a worldview where there is little expectation for God to move in power and break through. It says that God will heal and restore and sort things out in the world, but not now. Just at the end of all things. It believes the kingdom can come in theory, but not in our bodies, maybe just in our hearts, not in our minds, not in our finances, or in any tangible, miraculous way. The kind of not yet thinking that I'm describing actually can quench the Holy Spirit, because there's no faith for him to move. It feels safe because you'll never be disappointed if something doesn't happen. And then it puts God in a box, shaped not by the scriptures, but actually by our own experiences or lack of experiences. So if over here we have the kingdom now, and over here we have the kingdom not yet, I believe the healthiest place for us to live, the most biblical place, is in the middle, in tension, the radical middle, the now and the not yet. It looks like contending for breakthrough and embracing brokenness. It looks like pursuing signs and wonders and miracles, and it's weeping with those who weep and mourning with those who mourn. It is great faith and expectation that God could do anything at any moment, at any place. And it's also a deep faith which says, even if he doesn't, I'm still going to trust him. I'm still going to hope in him. I'm still going to worship him. And so what does it look like for us to live in the tension of these two realities? Well, I've just got 2 points that I want to share with you this morning. If you're making notes, this is where we're going. Number one, we pursue the blessings of the kingdom. We go hard after kingdom now. And secondly, we persevere through the battles of the kingdom. And I think the Christian life, if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, I think those words so beautifully sum up what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You experience blessing and battles. Battles and blessing, and that is the Christian life. So, kingdom now, let's talk about that. Firstly, we are called to pursue the blessings of the kingdom. As followers of Jesus, we are called to pray, to contend, to seek first, to release, to usher in the rule and reign of God and all the blessings of the kingdom here and now. What does that look like? What are the blessings of the kingdom? If you've got a Bible, why don't you open them to Luke chapter 4? This is really a seminal scripture on the kingdom of God. Jesus has just come. He has just announced and declared that he has come to bring the kingdom of God. He has come to declare the kingdom and demonstrate the kingdom. And he goes to the temple and he reads a scripture from the prophet Isaiah, a prophetic picture describing what Jesus came to do in terms of bringing the kingdom. This is what it says, verse 16. Jesus stood up to read. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So when Jesus said the kingdom of God is at hand, these are the sort of things that he is expecting to see, and this is what he's come to do. This is his mission. And because we are followers of Jesus, this is our mission too. Let me share a few thoughts on this passage. Number one, did you notice that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit to do this stuff? The Spirit of God rested, filled Jesus for the purpose of kingdom ministry. This blows my mind, because Jesus was God, wasn't he? He was fully God, fully man. So he could have operated out of his divinity, but he chose not to. He chose instead to operate out of anointing, to show us the kind of life that he was living is available to us too, if we are willing to operate under anointing and yielding as well. So how many of you know, if we want to be a kingdom now kind of people, if we want to see heaven invade earth and people come to faith around us and see signs, wonders, miracles, freedom, salvation, we can't do it apart from the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need his anointing. But notice this, the anointing comes for a purpose. The passage said, Jesus is anointed to bring good news. He's anointed to proclaim freedom. He's anointed to break chains, which tells us that if we want the activity of heaven, we need the anointing of heaven. And if we want the anointing of God, if we want more of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that actually comes as we go. As we step out beyond the boundaries and the walls of our building, as we go to people, that's where the anointing of God comes. Someone once said, as we step out, God steps in. So that's Jesus lived under anointing. Secondly, let's have a look at some of the blessings of the kingdom of God. What are we called to bring into the world? Number one, we're called to bring good news. It looks like good news. It is good news unto salvation. It is good news for the struggling. It is good news for the poor. It is good news for the brokenhearted. It is good news for our world. It is good news for those who are burned out and beat down. Jesus came not to save the well, but to save the sick. This is good news, guys. And maybe you've never heard the good news of Jesus before, but you need to know today there is a God in heaven who made you and who loves you passionately. He knows you intimately and desires more than you could ever imagine a friendship, a love relationship with you. It's what you were born for. And he invites every single one of us to come to him, to receive mercy and grace and forgiveness from our sins because of what he's done on the cross, to receive adoption into his family as sons and daughters, to receive the seal of the Holy Spirit who comes and makes his home in our hearts, and we get hope for eternal life. All things get made new in our hearts. We get born again. No matter our story, no matter our past, no matter our sins, our shame, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're privileged or marginalized, anyone and everyone can come and find home in God. Isn't that good news? The God that made us. Come on, let's get excited. Part of our mission, church, is to proclaim this good news to the world. And let me say, it's just as good news today as it was 2,000 years ago. Tonight we have a baptism service here at church. You can see the hot tub is roasting hot. It's going to be toasty. And if you've never been to a baptism service, even if you have, come tonight at 6 p.m. We would love to see you. But just been struck this week by reading people's stories, testimonies of people coming, having their eyes open to the reality of King Jesus, having their lives turned upside down, people giving their hearts to Christ all the time. I just heard from some of our Alpha team that on Thursday night, someone just gave their life to Jesus at Alpha. It's happening all the time, all across our city, all in our church. People are coming to faith because of the good news of Jesus. Isn't that exciting? So the kingdom coming looks like good news. Secondly, it looks like freedom. Jesus said, anyone that is in bondage can be made free. I wonder who needs to hear that today in the room. Now, it struck me as I was reading this passage, preparing for today, there are two types of freedom available for us. There's the freedom for prisoners and freedom for the oppressed. Jesus brings freedom. So number one, he brings freedom for prisoners. This speaks to those who are held captive by sin, shame, addiction, guilt, insecurity, or even spiritual forces. A literal translation of the original word prisoner speaks to this idea of being a prisoner of war. So it's like if you have been taken captive in the spiritual battle that rages in our world, if you've been defeated by the flesh, if you've been discouraged by the devil, if you've been distracted by the world, the flesh, the devil, then Jesus wants to come and bring freedom to your life. Second type of freedom are those who live under oppression. These are the people who sit under systems of tyranny and slavery and poverty and maybe social injustice. In other words, Jesus came to set us free from the chains in our hearts and the chains in the world. He came to bring freedom. This is a blessing of the kingdom. Another blessing of the kingdom is healing. He came to bring recovery of sight to the blind. Of course, that means spiritual sight and revelation and opening eyes, but it means physical healing as well. In heaven, there is no sickness. There is no pain. We will be lived in our full, perfect, glorified bodies. And so Jesus came and brought the future heaven to earth in people's bodies, and people that were sick and blind and lame and deaf, Jesus brought to life again, even the dead. And just as it was Jesus' ministry, church is called to be our ministry as well. Healing is for people that have a cold, who have a chronic illness, and have cancer as well. Jesus can heal you, and I believe he longs to heal you. And finally, we see the favor of the Lord. This is the year of the Lord's favor. This speaks to a new world that Jesus inaugurated, the kingdom of God. It's the year of salvation, the year of blessing. The way to God is open through Jesus. It's a new day and we can all come. So let us ask a question this morning, church. What are we doing to bring these things into the world? Are we consumed with our own lives and just living in our own kingdoms? Or are we actually living for the sake of his kingdom, seeking first his kingdom, exploring, like, Lord, what do you want me to do in my day-to-day life, in my ordinary moments, in my work, wherever I set my feet? No, I carry your presence. I carry your kingdom. What does it look like for me to share good news, to bring healing, to release freedom and hope to our world? This is Jesus's mission, and it's ours too. So guys, we pursue the blessing of the kingdom. Secondly, we persevere through the battles of the kingdom. In the scriptures, there's few passages which more beautifully describe the now and the not yet of the kingdom than in a chapter in Hebrews called Hebrews 11. And in the first half of Hebrews 11, we see a long description of some heroes of the faith who through their faith in the Old Testament saw God do remarkable things and remarkable inbreakings of God's kingdom. Summarized beautifully in these verses, verse 32, the right author says this: "What more shall I say? I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel, the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised. They shut the mouths of lions. They quenched the fury of the flames. They escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again." Isn't that incredible? That's the kingdom of God now. But before we think it's always like that, just read the next verse. "There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised." Notice, faith brought breakthrough, and also faith brought perseverance and endurance. This is the not yet of God's kingdom. That while we may see miracles and healings and signs and wonders and freedom and provision and breakthrough, we also see sickness and death and injustice and persecution and relational fracturing. This is life. And it's so important we don't deny the reality of pain. We don't settle for it. We contend for more. We believe for breakthrough, but we also surrender along the journey. We embrace seasons of suffering and hardship. We see God's hand in times of testing, and we weep together when things are hard. Jesus himself said, "In this world, we will have trouble." So let me ask you a question. What battles are you facing today? What battles are you facing right now? Maybe it's a battle of sickness. Maybe it's a battle of sorrow. Maybe it's a battle of spiritual attack, or the storms of life, or supply, or stress, or strife, whatever it is. The reality is that we live between the first coming and the second coming of Jesus. And while Jesus has conquered death, he's risen from the grave, he has overcome, he has won the war, he's conquered sin, death, hell, the grave, and the enemy. The reality is we live in a battle. And in this world, we will have trouble. This is blessings and battles of the kingdom. This is glory and Gethsemane. This is joy and aching. And the Christian life is living in the tension of those. So guys, how do we live when things are hard? How do we respond in the not yet of the Christian life? Well, a couple of thoughts. Firstly, we must pray. We must pray. We must pray for God's kingdom to come. We must pray for breakthrough, pray for peace, pray for healing, pray for strength. We pray that we would see Jesus and he would be glorified in everything we are going through. James says this in James 5, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Ephesians 6, famous passage on the spiritual battle, Paul writes this, pray in the spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Prayer is a gift in seasons of battle. It is a weapon. It is warfare. It is our gateway to the miraculous. But more than that, it is a doorway into the presence of Jesus. And actually, there's something that happens in seasons when we go through trial, we go through pain, that we get to experience a greater depth of God's presence and God's kingdom. Have you ever experienced that? Something happens in our darkest moments that doesn't happen when life's great. One prominent pastor said this, it is by trials that you go deeper into the kingdom. Paul and Barnabas, speaking to new believers in Acts 14, say, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Paul writes in Philippians that the Christian life is both knowing the power of his resurrection and sharing the sufferings of Christ. This is the tension we live in. We experience power and breakthrough and healing, and we share in the sufferings of Christ. One of my favorite books is a book by a guy called Brother Lawrence called Practicing the Presence of God. And he has such a rich and deep life with God. He really experienced the presence of God at all times in everything he was doing, whether it was just at the monastery washing dishes, he would just become aware of the presence of God. And he was just a real inspiration. It's a phenomenal book. But what many people don't know about him is that he had a chronic illness. He had a sickness which was never taken from him. And in this book, he describes how actually, instead of complaining in those moments of pain, he describes how every twinge of pain, every night of agony, every time his body aches, he used it as a call to prayer. And it actually drew him to Christ. You see, prayer doesn't always fix the issue, but it always brings us into the presence of the one who can. And right now in our church, we are experiencing, we're in a contested moment. God is on the move in beautiful ways. And how many of us know where the enemy always attacks, where the kingdom is advancing? And where God is at work in your life, the enemy just resists it. And has anyone experienced that recently? We just hear so many anecdotal stories from people in the church since we've been pressing into prayer as John launched this kind of mini-series on prayer a few weeks ago. People are experiencing significant backlash from that. Our heating broke in the church. Let me say, that was a stressful week. It was the week after John preached on prayer and said, expect the enemy to have a go when we press into prayer. And that's what happened. No one likes a cold church. So we are passionate about hot church. And anyway, that's not in my notes. Let me tell you, Hannah and I experienced this just a couple of weeks ago when we were going to the Cause to Live For. It's the Students Young Adults Conference, over 1,000 people. I was speaking on the Friday night. We were driving down on the Thursday. And at 4 o'clock in the morning on the Thursday morning, our doorbell went ding, 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 ding. We woke up. I was like, what time is it? Who is at the door? Very, very odd, felt very weird moment. We went to our window, I didn't want to go downstairs, and opened the door. And outside there was a fully sober, very aggressive man who was demanding access to our home and to our lodger who we live with as well. He was hostile, he refused to leave, and he bizarrely knew a lot about our living situation. It was weird. He'd even said, I've just been in your house this last week. And what he didn't know was that we'd just been on holiday. So it was just weird. He knew some stuff and he was like, look, I don't over-spiritualize. It's important that we don't over-spiritualize. Like, not everything's a demon in life, okay? When you don't get a car park, you don't blame the devil, car parking spot. But at the same time, the Bible says, don't be unaware. And I don't think we should under-spiritualize either. And so just the morning that I'm traveling down to Cause to Live For, where we're going to see remarkable things. We're waking up in the middle of the night in our home, which is our safe space, with intimidation. And it just felt like my wife, it was like 4:30 in the morning. We called the police. As soon as the police arrived, he'd vanished. And we've not heard anything since. And in that moment, we just decide, we feel like this is a bit of intimidation tactic from the enemy. On the precipice of something which is going to be significant, we've got to pray. And so we gathered together in our bedroom, our lodger and me and my wife, and we prayed and we just canceled the assignment of the enemy and we spoke peace over our lives and situation. And we've not heard anything since. This is the power of prayer. And I wonder how many of you are just experiencing that backlash at the minute. And it's because God is doing something. So we pray in the battles of life. And finally, we persevere. Now, perseverance, guys, is so unglamorous. It is so challenging. It is so often hidden. But we persevere. And we don't persevere blindly. We persevere because of the hope that's coming. That this world is not the end. The Bible says this world is temporary, it is fleeting, and our pain, though it may seem crippling in this life, is really just, in the words of Paul, a light and momentary affliction compared to the eternal weight of glory that is coming to those found in Christ. This is the hope of everlasting life. Let me give you some verses on perseverance. Before I land, Romans 12 says this, "Be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, be faithful in prayer." Hebrews 10, you need to persevere, it says, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. James 1, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. You're blessed because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. 2 Corinthians 4, just quoted this, but let me read it out. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So what do? We fix our eyes, not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary and what is unseen is eternal. This is what we're called to do. We fix our eyes on Jesus, the founder and the finisher of our faith. He fixed his eyes on the joy before him. We fix our eyes on him. John preached last week, Revelation, Nation Sunday, on the glory of the throne in heaven. We fix our eyes on the unseen world, that Jesus is seated on the throne. He's ruling and reigning. He's praying for us right now. And one day, as we live in the not yet moment, one day everything will be made right. Everything will be made new. There will be no more tears, no more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more shame. And so this is the Christian life, guys. The kingdom now, the kingdom not yet. Let's go hard after the now. Let's pray and believe for blessings and breakthrough and signs and wonders. And let's allow process in the not yet, knowing that there is an eternal hope to come, which is unseen in our time. And in all of that, we say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Why don't you stand?
Thank you for listening to the Hall Vineyard podcast. We would love to connect with you and welcome you home to church. To find out more, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/connect. And stay up to date with all that is going on in the life of our church, go to hallvineyard.co.uk/church news and sign up for our weekly mailing. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you soon.